Well, good morning. My name is Mark Pope. I'm the director of Teen Challenge in London. And thank you, Steve and leadership team, for bringing us this morning to share our stories of hope and freedom with you. And that's just one story of hundreds, if not thousands, of lives that have been changed by what God does through Teen Challenge. We're here this morning to share a little bit of that with you this morning. John 10:10 tells us that the enemy, the thief, comes to do three things, right? It says the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And sadly, through addiction, we see the enemy does those three things quite well. We know that through addiction, the enemy does indeed steal. It steals relationships. It steals children from parents and parents from grandchildren, from parents from children, spouses from another spouse. It steals futures. It steals hope. We know that addiction destroys. Addiction destroys relationships, it destroys marriages, it destroys careers, it destroys finances, it destroys society. And also, we know that addiction kills. In fact, it kills at the rate of 7 people every minute. And to some of us, we get lost in stats and numbers, and we just see numbers. But these aren't just numbers. These are people. These represent faces, they represent lives, they represent hearts, they represent people who are loved. They represent people who have so much to give, but through addiction, it's robbed and stolen and killed it. Addiction, it affects the rich, it affects the poor. It affects those in large urban centers like Toronto and Vancouver and even KW area. It affects those in smaller rural settings as well. Addiction affects those that have no concept of God, but also affects those within the very four walls of a church. And although we're a smaller number of people this morning, no doubt that addiction has touched some of your lives this morning. Either personally, through your own lived experience, or no doubt through a loved one, a family member, a friend, a neighbor, someone you work with, who are in the throes of addiction, and you know what I'm speaking about this morning. And although these stats are daunting and they're scary, and you look at the news, you read the news, you listen to the news, you look around, you walk around the streets of your community, and you can't get away from one day without hearing about something about addiction. We're here to tell you this morning that's not the end. That's not the end of the story. We're here to tell you that there is hope. Amen? Jesus Christ brings hope. Because in John 10:10, it says the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But it doesn't end with a period, does it? Don't you love Scripture when it says, but? Because whatever came before that, God can do something different, right? So Jesus says, yeah, the enemy does steal, kill, and destroy. But he says, I have come to bring life, and life more abundant. And I love how the Message paraphrase of that puts it. Says that I've came that they may have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. I've been with Teen Challenge for about 10 years now, and I've seen a lot of people come in on intake day. Every Tuesday is intake day, and usually we have at least one guy, sometimes 3, 4, 5 guys come in every week. And I see the lostness, the brokenness, the hopelessness. I've lost everything. Sometimes they come in by themselves because they have no family, no support network to even take them to another rehab. And sometimes they come in with family members who this is their last hope. And I see a lot of brokenness. I see a lot of broken dreams. But after just a few short weeks, as you see God starting to work in their heart and our lives and our minds, and after a few months, and those that finish the program, and you see that God restores to them things that the enemy's taken away. Families that have been destroyed are now reuniting and finding restoration again, and finding connection again. Kids that were separated from their parents finding connection again. Spouses, connection again. And what's even more amazing is to see these dreams come to fruition. Men and women who come in our program who lost it all, and they come in just with the hope of finishing a program and finding sobriety, they start realizing God's birthing dreams in them. Dreams for a future, dreams that are beyond what they even dreamed before. It's just amazing to see what God can do in them. Stephen in this video, graduate of Teen Challenge, This is a few years old now, and today he said in this video he was married over about a year in Bible college. Well, today he's graduated Bible college. He graduated with almost a 4.0 grade point average. He's now working with Teen Challenge in Ottawa, getting one of our centers up there in Ottawa up and running. He's now married, now has two kids, and it's just amazing what God is doing through Stephen's life. And so what is Teen Challenge? Teen Challenge is a 12-month in-residence program for men and women 18 and over. Our name confuses people. They think, oh, Teen Challenge, you're for teenagers. You would think so, but in Canada, we are for adults only. We are part of a network of over 1,400 Teen Challenges around the world. It started in New York City in 1958, and many of the centers in the States and around the world do service juveniles, but here in Canada, currently we are adult only at present. In Canada, we have Teen Challenge Canada operates 9 Teen Challenge centers. 3 of those are female centers. The nearest female center here in Ontario is in Aurora, King City. And if you have a loved one this morning, we are talking about males this morning, but if you have a loved one who's female, we do have some information on our table back there to leave with you, some phone numbers, material, literature, please do come by and see us, and we'll help point you in the right direction. Our program is 1 year. It's very structured. We do work therapy. They have addictions counseling. We have spiritual formation. We have chapel. We get to travel on Sundays like this and share our stories of hope and transformation. Just a wonderful program, what God does in men and women's lives. And so this morning, I brought 2 gentlemen with me, and I'm going to ask both of them to come and join me on stage here and introduce themselves to you this morning and share some of their stories with you.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for inviting us to join you today. We are your Teen Challenge speaking team, and we are here to spread a special message of hope and the redeeming power of Jesus Christ. Take a good look at the man beside me. Sorry, this team is usually bigger. Actually, that's a good thing, though. It's smaller today. Just a few months ago, these men, including myself, were at rock bottom. We were homeless, up on charges, in prison, some of us, and some overdosing, and some of us, like me, suicidal, all consumed by crippling addiction. We were lost and hopeless before we came to Teen Challenge and experienced the healing power of our Lord and Savior through the gospel. Since we've been in the program, we found hope, love, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. My name is Francis. I'm 50 years old, and I'm from Cape Breton, Nova Scotia.
Hey, I'm Trevor. I'm from Windsor, Ontario. I'm 25, and I've been in the program for 8 months now.
We are here today to be servants, to pray for you who are struggling and have lost hope, to tell you about the power of Jesus Christ and how he can break the chains of addiction, and to share the stories of redemption in our lives. Thank you for having us. Once again, thank you. I'm Francis, and I'm going to give it up. This is what I should have been doing years ago. I got to give it up to God. God, I just come here to you today to praise and worship you, to humble myself, Lord, and to glorify your name and all you have done in my life. And I thank you in advance for your continued work in my life. So I'm from, as I was saying, I'm from Cape Breton, Nova Scotia. It was a small mining and fishing community. We didn't have much back then, but we had lots of fun. It was mixed memories, though, like hiding in the basement with my brother because Dad was home and very drunk. We already feared him, even without the drink. I endured much verbal, mental, emotional, and physical abuse at the hand of my earthly father. My mom started taking me to church. I went there a lot, mostly back there to get a chance to escape the violence at home. But it was so peaceful in the presence of God back then. I volunteered as an altar boy there. I had my communion there, and it was later confirmed. I seemed to be doing well, but then my mom and my grandmother both passed away. I was in my early teens, but through my counselor at Teen Challenge, this was a significant event in my life, but I will not blame this on my sinful nature. It it did, though. It threw me into a fit of rage, and I turned my back on God and all of his teaching. And then the accuser, of course, stepped in. He set his hooks in me and began to reel me into his darkness. I was introduced, ironically, at my mom's funeral. I wasn't fond of its taste back then, but that was overshadowed by its effect. I was truly amazed by its ability to crush emotions. Soon after, to support my habit, I was drinking on a regular basis. I turned to a life of crime. I acquired a new group of friends, all which were not a positive influence in my life, and it spiraled out of control. I was full of hate, rage, violence, lies, deceit, womanizing, and active addiction. It followed me all through my life. Although I didn't reach out to God, he made his presence known by blessing me with three beautiful children, whom I love very much. I didn't want them to grow up in a broken home with alcohol and violence, so I tried to be a better father. I attended numbers of support groups, but all without relying on God's strength. I was failing miserably. I needed God. I sought medical support. They diagnosed me with severe depression, being bipolar, and last, having schizophrenic tendencies. So many labels, so much medication. I tried all of them, but none seemed to work, like alcohol and drugs. I always got drawn back into the lifestyle, the heavy crime, the addiction. The last few years before entering Teen Challenge, my low points of my, I don't know how to explain, but I lost a very close friend of mine. He was murdered in his driveway in front of his oldest boy. My stepson took his own life. I got this guy. That was in March 2018. And my high school friend overdosed. You know, it's all of those things together. You think, you know, did I have my hand in that? Was that me? Did I do that? And all that. So I tempted my own fate on many occasions. I was hospitalized quite a bit. But God did what God does best. He reached in, pulled me out of the muck and mire. I was alone in my apartment through no fault of my own. There was a number on the table. I called it. It was a church in Richmond Hill. The administrator, Billy, was a graduate of Teen Challenge. Coincidence? I think not. I'd learned, too, in Teen Challenge that coincidence is only when God chooses to remain anonymous. It's Billy and the pastor. We talked there outside the church over a year ago, and it happened again, that overwhelming presence and the peace of God. I broke down and verbally accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I agreed to go to Teen Challenge. I've been there for over 10 months, and it's over 36 years. I had 2.5 years at a secular rehab, but I was a dry drunk. It was not a good drunk. It was not a good stint. It was terrible. I was alone, and it was terrible. This one is different. I can feel it. I have lots of help there, the brotherhood, the staff, the teachers, the volunteers, the interns, CSWs, and my counselor. All of this helping me with my hurts, my losses, my pain, my suffering. They just help me with everything, the shame, the regret, the remorse. It's still there. It still is overwhelming at times, but I have so much back. I have so many people to turn my back to. It's ridiculous. And through Teen Challenge, and now I have one label, and that's Child of God. And my daughter, I had trouble with my kids, didn't want to talk to me before I entered. I am talking to my kids. My daughter just sent me my first letter, and it was a beautiful letter. Not only that, but I'm going to be a grandfather, so it was a great letter. and I thank you. Thank you for having us, sir.
Good morning, everybody. As I said, I'm Trevor. And so I grew up with loving parents in the house, loving grandparents also. They were a big part of my life. And I have one older brother who's about 1 year older than me. So Like, as a child, when I was about 3 years old, I think my parents got divorced. I could, like, as a child, I could hear my parents arguing in the house and yelling at each other, and I would ask what was wrong, and my mom would just tell me that my parent, they weren't really getting along with each other anymore. But at that age, I didn't really understand what that could mean or comprehend what that would lead up to, which was me growing up without a father in the house. So as I grew older, me and my brother had a lot of time alone. My mom would be working when me and my brother came home from school, so we had a lot of time to fight, and my brother would beat me up, and I would either run away, lock myself in my room, and just try to hide from him, or, you know, just take the beating or try and fight back. So as I grew up, I had a couple of good friends in school. But in grade 5, my friend Thomas, he moved away to Ottawa. And again, in grade 6, my other friend Storm, he moved to St. Thomas. So then I was left with a couple of friends. We were pretty tight, but as we grew older, we kind of fell apart. By the time I got into high school, I had one friend in grade 9. And even he began to make new friends, and I was never really a social guy, so I kind of just stayed by myself, eating lunch, hanging out in the hallways, so I didn't have to go into the cafeteria and be seen by a bunch of people. I began to get bullied a little bit in high school because of how quiet I was and how I didn't really talk to people or know anybody. By grade 11, I was really curious about smoking pot because I heard a lot of people talking about their fun and how they had friends hanging out and all their good times. So it was really a thing in my mind to wonder what it was like. And so I began smoking when I was 17. The first time I tried it was right before school one morning because I had the house to myself. My mom was at work and my brother was out. So I ended up getting so high that morning that I felt I couldn't even go to school. So I called my mom when she was at work, and I told her that I had a headache, and I asked her to call in to school so to tell them that I was sick so I could stay home. And that was the first time I lied to my mom about using drugs. I remember my mom telling me and my brother how bad drugs could be, and, you know, watching like TV shows like Dr. Phil and him talking about other drug addicts and how they've been on the street, and I would always tell myself that I would never be like that. Soon after I graduated high school, I got my first job welding, and I met a girl. I basically fell in love with her like right away, but our relationship was based on, you know, not very good habits. You know, we were always getting high with each other and, you know, not really doing much. It wasn't really a healthy relationship. So I moved out with her. I got my own apartment and stayed there for about 2 months. I missed some days at work, so I lost my job. Ran out of money because I kept drinking and smoking, and then got kicked out of my apartment. But she had a friend that lived close by, so we could stay at her house. And so soon after that, I found out that my girlfriend wasn't being loyal to me, and everything was changing. You know, I felt like I couldn't trust her anymore, and she was flirting with guys. So I lost all my trust. I lost my self-esteem, and so I broke that off and moved back into my mom's house and tried to get my life back together. I got a job again, working somewhere else, but still doing welding. And you know, I was doing pretty good with life. You know, I wasn't too addicted, or I wasn't drinking too much, just smoking weed every now and then after work or at night. You know, I became pretty close with my family again, and so it me pretty hard when I found out that my uncle was in the hospital because of his excessive drinking. So we pretty much knew that he wasn't going to make it this time. So, and I really regret going, I regret how I acted around him, because I would go to see him in the hospital when I was high, and I wouldn't really communicate with him very well. You know, I'd kind of just visit him and see him. So I never really got to show him that I could be, that I could grow up and be a real man. You know, so he passed away, and that was really devastating to my family, because we kind of knew that he had a problem with alcohol, and he had like a couple chances to fix it, but he wouldn't, you know, go to a rehab like Teen Challenge. We actually tried to get him to go to Teen Challenge, but his work wouldn't allow him that much time off. So, like I always do when I get bored at home, I look towards drugs and alcohol to fill my free time so that I didn't have to think about my problems as much, and I could just get lost in playing video games. I began to get depressed at my home because I would always think about how my life had turned out and how I lost previous jobs and how I screwed up, just wishing I could go back and change it. I always had suicidal thoughts, thinking that death was a good escape from my problems so I wouldn't have to think about it anymore. So I ended up using harder drugs because I liked the danger in it and knowing that it might be the last time that I got high. My rock bottom moment, I was at work one day and I had to go out for lunch. So I came back and for some reason I had a bottle of alcohol in the back of my car. I parked in the parking lot at work and I took a few shots out of it. And as I was walking back to work, someone noticed me. They might have smelled it on my breath or something, and they told me that there was no way I was going to go back into work like that. So they pulled me into the office and asked me if I needed help, and I told them no. So they called me a cab, they sent me home, and that's how my mom found out about it. So she had to go back, pick up my car with my grandpa, and bring it back home. A few days later, my boss called me to come back to his office and talk to him about the problem. And, you know, I was honest with them. I just told them, yeah, I did drink, and I knew it was wrong. So they told me I couldn't come back to work for them unless I had a concrete plan on how to get better, because if I was drinking at work, then I must have had a problem. So I agreed with them, and, you know, I took it really well that it seemed like they cared about me and they wanted me to get better. They're really good people, and I'm lucky to have a boss like that, because they could have just fired me. And so I had already heard about Teen Challenge because my family was trying to get my uncle to come here a couple years ago, and I felt like I was going to turn out just like him if I really didn't get help, because I was just always after my next drink, thinking about when I was going to get drunk or high the next time. So I agreed to my mom that I would apply for Teen Challenge, and she let me stay at her house until I got accepted, and she brought me there. Coming to Teen Challenge, I really didn't know what I was getting myself into the first minutes, like driving into the driveway. I felt like an overwhelming sense of anxiety, and, you know, I didn't know what was going to happen. But, you know, I settled in real nice, made some good friends. There's some really nice people there, and they helped me out. There's always somebody to talk to whenever you're feeling down, and it's just a really good environment. A good environment to be in. So since coming to Teen Challenge, I've learned to deal with my anxiety in healthy ways, and, you know, just by thinking that the Lord hasn't given us a spirit of anxiety, but love, sound mind, and peace. that really helps me out to remember that each day. So I've been learning to forgive people from my past and be set free from the chains in my own mind holding me back. I've learned that you can't really find joy in substances or alcohol, but God gives us an everlasting joy that's like no other thing in this earth. So I've been reading a lot more books than I normally would. I wouldn't even really read books, I would just play video games, but I actually enjoy reading books now. I've been learning how to play guitar. That really helps me with my anxiety because I just focus on that and learn new chords and songs, and I get to play worship songs, so that's really nice. That really helps me out. And so I've learned that I was really a selfish person in my past, not really giving my time to my family, not spending time with my mom, always wanting to isolate myself. And I've been learning about generosity and how it's not just giving out things or money, it's also giving your time to people, giving your life. So, I've just been learning to be friends with everybody and, you know, spend time with people because I was always an introvert. And that really helps me out a lot. Like, I actually enjoy it now. And, I've been praying a lot. It's been helping my negative thinking patterns. I think a lot more positively now, and I'm a lot more happy inside and have a pure sense of joy, really. And, that's it. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Francis, and thank you, Trevor, for being open and vulnerable and sharing your story with us. Some of you in this room, the very thought of standing in front of people and speaking about anything is terrifying. But for these men to stand up here and be open and vulnerable and share their past and their hurts, hats off to them for sharing and doing so well with us here. And thank you for listening. This morning, as we come to an end, we are really here for three reasons. One of those reasons is to be an encouragement to you. Because all of us in this room, from your pastor on down, are broken people. We have hurts, we have issues, we have things going on at home in our own lives, and to hear their stories of God can do miraculous work in their lives, what can he do in your situation? And all of our situations are different, but God can do, the common denominator is what can God do, amen? Secondly, we wanted to encourage you, if you are dealing with addiction in your own life or loved ones in your own life, we want to be a resource for you, resource for your church, resource for you and your family, and helping you with a loved one who may be addicted, let you know that there is hope, and let you know there is a place like Teen Challenge that can offer hope and change. And so we're here for that reason as well. And lastly, we're here to ask for your support. Teen Challenge is non-government supported. We charge $1,000 for the program for 1 year. That doesn't even cover the first week of stay with us. Many rehabs will cost you $30,000 a month. We don't want money to be prohibitive to find treatment. And so oftentimes people will come and say, you know what, I have no money. That's okay, come on in. We want to provide help to anybody who needs it and wants it. But it does cost money to run a program for people to find help. And so this is where you may come in this morning. We have many ways that you can get behind us in supporting us. And one of those ways is through special events. And very quickly, I'll take just 2 minutes here before we wrap up. Has anybody seen our Teen Challenge choir? Are there a female choir or a male choir? 1, 2, 3. It's really a treat to see these men and women stand up and sing. Well, Christmas time is very special. Christmas time, we join our women's choir in Newmarket and our men's choir in London, and we have what's called a Home for Christmas concert. And you're right in the middle between kind of London and Newmarket, so pick your choice. November 23rd in Newmarket or December 6th in London. And we have tickets available here. You can go online, order tickets. You won't be disappointed. Hear some awesome Christmas songs, some original and some more of your classic. And you hear stories like this morning as well. And so a great time to put you in the Christmas spirit. And so that's one way you can be supporting of us. Another way is through vehicle donation. If you have a vehicle that you would like to donate, you get a tax receipt for your vehicle. We pick it up from you, and we then turn around and we sell it to a local dealer or to an auction. And the funding comes back to the program that way as well. So if you have a vehicle you want to donate, we have some phone numbers at the table. You can see us, or again, do it all online. And very quickly, lastly, is our sponsorship program. On the way in this morning, you would receive a Change of Life brochure like this. And for $40 a month, you can sponsor a student in the program, and that money comes back to the program. You can write letters of encouragement to a student, just encouraging them along the way. Your information to the student is confidential. They can't write back to you other than two times a year. They'll write to all the sponsors they have saying, thank you, here's my journey, here's things are going well, you can pray for me. Things are challenging, please pray for me. But the best part is the end of the year, you're invited to the graduation where we celebrate what God has done, what God continues to do in our life. So sponsorship for $4 a month is an awesome way to get behind Teen Challenge. Once your student graduates, you get another student and keep going on that way. So sponsorship, if you're able to do that this morning, you can see us at the table. We can help you with that. We have story cards like this that can help you get started with your sponsorship journey this morning. This morning, we understand that not all of you have a car you can donate. Not all of you are able to attend special events. Not all of you can sponsor a student. But this morning, there's something that all of you can do if you believe in Jesus Christ, and that's pray. Would you pray for us collectively? Would you, member pastor, pray for a Teen Challenge? Pray for these two men in particular. Write their names down. Don't forget them. Pray for them as they're about to finish their program in the next couple of months. And pray for those unnamed faces, the unknown faces of Teen Challenge, those that are yet to come to Teen Challenge. We really appreciate your prayer support as well. And that's the best thing you can do for us, in fact. So thank you for your time this morning, for allowing us to come and share our stories with you. We'll be pleased to speak with you at our table later. I invite your pastor, Steve, to come and close our service this morning. Thanks again.
I'm going to pray, and there's just an encouragement to pray, to think about how you can be involved and how you can support this ministry. And there's going to be a second offering taken up at this time as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for these voices who have lifted up your name as their hope, as their truth, as their Savior. And we thank you for the power that you have to transform our lives when we give them to you. Father, I pray for a blessing on Teen Challenge as a ministry, that you would inspire and encourage and sustain those who lead, those who guide, those who are resources and support for these men. And Father, would you reach into every single person's life who is committing to this year of transformation and change, this year of finding hope and finding a reason and finding a passion and a purpose. Father, we add our yes and our amen as these men spend time with you, spend time with each other, spend time with their father, deal with the hurts. And Father, that's our story as well. That we have things in our life that we need you to speak into. We need you to be our hope. We need you to be our way forward and our way out. So we can connect and relate to these stories, because they're our story as well. Father, if there's anyone here this morning who is struggling or has loved ones that are struggling, I pray that your spirit would speak to them, would nudge them, would encourage them. Father, we long for you to be our all, our everything, to love you with everything that we have. Father, help those as well who are committing to that, wherever they start from, committing to give everything to you. So as we take up this offering, Father, I pray that you would bless this ministry, bless our gifts as we give generously, and we give joyfully. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.